Welcome to another episode of Resort Ears. We have a special one on today. We have Drunk at Disney joining us, and it is going to be epic, folks. Tons of news to talk about, a great feature to talk about, and a lot of laughs to be had. It's time to get your ears on. Resort Ears Radio, episode something for May something. It starts now. The Resort Ears studio. You're in we're covering all over the place here. We're in the north, the south, the river, the west, the east. We're everywhere here. First off and foremost, Drunk at Disney, welcome.
Cheers and congaluge.
This has been we talked about this about a month ago. We're like, you know, this guy seems to have the great sarcasm that we both have. And would be an awesome guest to have on here and there. And finally, this has happened, so we are excited. Sorry about how the show was supposed to start at 9:30, and now we're at 10:05 or whatever. You know what, though? If we were in Alabama, this is actually 9 o'clock, so we're good.
We're good.
Yeah. So first, before we go into, I send it over to Greg with, both of them, really, for what's going on in the world, you know, in their worlds. I just want to say, Gmail, get your stuff together, because I literally spent 5 minutes. That's why we're really late. I had to bring up the Gmail script that hasn't worked, and it took me 5-10 minutes of these guys talking something else for me to pull this up. So just get your crap together, Gmail, because, yeah. Anyhow, Greg, what's up?
Not much, man. Excited to be back for another show. Pumped to have our new friend Drunk at Disney on the show join us tonight.
Yeah, cheers. Hey, I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you decided to have me on. I actually never been on a live podcast before, so this will be pretty exciting.
Sweet.
You will have none better, my friend.
This may be one of the greatest Disney Twittersphere mashups of all time that we've just created.
Or last. Depending on how this goes. So, I guess before we get into news and stuff, is there anything to note between the both of you? Anything you want to talk about? Just a quick little jibber-jab is what we do before we get... That's right, I said jibber-jab. Before we get into the news. Anything?
I want to say real quick, thanks to all of our listeners on Mixlr. Mixlr.com/ResortEars. That's our live feed. And on Periscope, like Mike said before. You can listen to us on TuneIn Radio if you haven't yet, or on podbean.com/ResortEars. So check us out there. But TuneIn Radio, great app. You can have that on your phone. Listen in the car. Listen when you're getting ready for work in the morning, whatever. So check us out on there. And just want to thank all of our listeners from our last show and on our Trip Report show and our last episode 12. It's great. So thanks to all them.
I learned something today, and that Greg, so apparently we had a brush by at the TTC, by the Magic Kingdom. I came stumbling by in my adventurous hat with the Tervis tumbler, which is, I guess, a little bit easy to recognize.
You did. I was down there 2 weeks ago with the family, and going back to Magic Kingdom, get on the monorail, and watch right by Drunk at Disney here. And
I have to interject. He texts me, literally.
Yeah.
Dude, I think that's Drunk at Disney. Like, little teenage girl. And I said, okay.
Oh, I don't know, buddy. Like, I don't know a teenage girl.
It was like you're a little teenage girl waiting to talk to your crush. Like, I don't know how to do it. So that's when I texted
you. Wait, what?
Yes, you did. Look at your texts. Yes, you did. I texted you. You could look back on your texts, Drunky, because it is on there. It is on there. And I said, I think Greg just saw you.
I do remember that. I just wasn't. It was sort of in the midst of whatever I was doing that day. So now it definitely reminds me of that day. That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
So, I still feel like a matchmaker underneath both of you. Like
it's like a whoosh. There's probably some security camera footage.
Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right, so before we get into the news, I wanted to take it back a little bit here. For some of you, this is your first time watching Resort Ears. This is your first time seeing... Well, I got my little pen here. That's me, Mike, and that's Greg, and that's Drunk at Disney. It's the first time that you guys have really probably seen us face-to-face if you're just joining us. So I think it's a kind of cool time, since we also have Drunk at Disney here, to kind of go back and say who the heck we are and how we find ourselves basically... being huge Disney fans.
Right.
So, as the guest goes, you're first.
Me? Oh, my God.
You're the guest.
I'm Disney World fan. I grew up a Disney World fan. I came down on vacations. I'm not definitely one of those people that has all the movies and that sort of thing. I'm definitely more just a parks fan, and I grew up coming down here. I lived in Alabama for a while. We came... I would say I came a lot, though. I mean, I think growing up from the ages of, from when I was born till, you know, graduating high school, I probably went maybe 5 or 6 vacations. I mean, so, I was that kid that I had the maps and the guidebooks and the tapes, and you study it. You know, it must be great being a kid now with all this information, because, I mean, I was literally studying guidebooks back then, so... moved down here in 2001 and was able to start going a heck of a lot more often, which was really nice.
Greg?
Cool. Yeah, no, I also echo that same. I'm definitely more of a parks fan than I am like the movies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's really my love for it. Mike and I, though, for the new listeners. Mike and I have been best friends since our college days, and share a love for Disney, you know, Walt Disney World, and, you know, and started this thing up about a year ago now. So, Resort Ears Radio.
Ugh, I need a new hobby. okay, I've always been a Disney fan. It's what propelled me to go get my culinary and hospitality degree. I was one person off from becoming a college person who definitely would have enjoyed his job down there. But they didn't have a pastry program at the time. They only had a culinary program. And that's how that they, I guess, softly said, you know, we don't want you, I guess. I'm still trying to get down there as a front desk associate. I work for a large hotel chain up here with my hospitality degree. I love everything about Disney. I'm probably one of the only few people that could afford and had the actual play monorail that goes around a track. I'm proud about that.
The only 31-year-old person with the toy monorail.
Yes, thank you for telling everybody how old I am in my birthday last week.
That's up year round.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks anyhow. All right, so that's a cool re-round. Now we know where everybody's at. So let's get this radio show on the rail track, whatever. All right, Greg, start us off with the news.
Let's do it.
We'll just interject as we go. Read the story, and then we can just, like we always do, go off on a wild tangent that involves something of Disney. Go.
Cool. First, I want to start off with Disneyland. A little different. Now, we don't talk mostly about Disneyland on the show, but important note, you know, part of their 60th anniversary, big bash, last Friday they debuted 3 of their new shows. World of Color, which was there, but they did a new water spectacular over at Disney California Adventure. Paint the Night, that's their new electrical parade. And Disneyland Forever, which is their new fireworks spectacular at Disneyland Park. And all 3 of them gotten great reviews so far. The just seeing on YouTube some of this stuff, the World of Color thing is insane. I mean, it's really, really cool how they project the images up on the, you know, the water mist and the, you know, spraying, you know, water hundreds of feet high, and the colors and stuff's wicked cool. And Paint the Night is insane, too. I mean, it really brings, like, the whole electrical parade to the next level, I think, for Disney. So, pretty cool stuff, and I think a lot of the elements of this are going to end up, transferring eventually over here to the East Coast. At Walt Disney World, so
that's what you need the most excited right there.
Right.
Because we know that Rivers of Light is coming at Disney's Animal Kingdom, and we've seen just sort of the evolution of this projecting images onto. I mean, they started back in the original Epcot show. That was what they did back in the 80s. I mean, they were projecting onto Mist. And then they moved on to Fantasmic, which uses that as well. But and then to see what they've been able to do now really gets me excited for what's coming from Rivers of Light. Because just from the concept art, you couldn't really tell exactly what they were going for. But I was over at Disney Animal Kingdom the other day, and just the amount of physical construction, I thought they were just building seating.
Right.
But I mean, there is some, there's going to be some, there's some hardware going in there. It's going to be great to see what they do. And I think we can all assume this is a pretty good idea of what the technology they're using.
Right.
And so I think we can expect something along these lines. And if it's anything close to what we're seeing here, it's going to be something really cool at Animal Kingdom.
This Paint the Night thing, so what are they doing with these? Like, I see pictures and stuff. Are they basically just taking lights and lighting up figures and stuff like that? Basically like a newer version of the Electrical Light Parade?
No, it's still like floats, I guess you would call it, but, you know, figures. But I think they're using, like, video, too, on some of them.
Okay.
There's stuff that changes. So it's way more immersive. I think they're also doing projections like with those. So it's more than just the you know,
and it's
the float
just scope. Making the fact that we have here in Florida the Electrical Light Parade more and more ridiculous. Because I don't know if it was for the 24-hour night or the next night, but I was over there and I watched it. And I have a lot of nostalgia for the Electrical Light Parade. Don't get me wrong, but
absolutely.
But man, is it
tired?
Yes.
Tired.
This is available. And the fact we're still sitting here with this, it's just cannot wait until this. It will eventually be at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, it's good. It will eventually, something along these lines will eventually be there. After seeing what they did with the afternoon parade too, you know what's coming. But just definitely, you see the difference between 1970s and what we can do now.
Right. Chicken wire with chicken wire with Christmas lights wrapped around it.
If you're having that feeling now, wait until like Shanghai opens and you're like, why the heck do they have all this cool stuff and we still have bathrooms with crap overloading them? That's when all of our heads are just going to go poof.
Yeah. It's definitely, I've seen those, I was able to see those light floats up close once on a behind-the-scenes tour, and it was just, I mean, if you think it looks bad at night, wait till you see it during the day.
Oh, God.
Well, it's the same thing with the one though that goes around the lake. Oh, wow. Why can't I think of the name?
The water pageant.
The water pageant. I saw those barges up close. You want to talk about just getting some Christmas lights and putting them on a barge? I could do the same thing in the river down the street. But it's the pageantry. It's the,
the
history. You love it.
Yeah.
100% nostalgia. And you know what? I think I would assume a lot of fans would agree. Hey, don't touch that. But hey, we could probably do a little better for the actual Magic Kingdom parade.
I'm sure in about another month it's all going to be frozen, so...
One quick...
another summer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously. Real quick on Disneyland, too, before we move on. I don't know if you guys saw this. And I don't know if this has been confirmed yet or if it's just in the rumor mill. But I did read something yesterday, maybe, that Disneyland would not be getting Magic Bands.
I've heard both now at this point. Now, here at that, and then I also heard that they're going to test it out. And then... I'm hearing both.
Yeah.
And so I think I see what you mean. You mean Magic Bands or the Fast Pass Plus? Like they'll try Fast Pass Plus without the Magic Bands?
I think the whole My Disney Experience program for Disneyland.
That would be amazing if they do not, in my opinion, just because of it's literally like waving the white flag that.
Right. We just dumped how much money, $1 billion or whatever it was, into this thing?
Yeah. Love it or hate it, whatever it is, regardless of what anyone's personal opinion of My Magic Plus is, if they don't take it to the other parks, it's literally admitting that this is, we did this and we literally...
Right.
I was talking to somebody on Twitter today about it, just that I always... And, oh, God, I wish I remember who it was, because they totally made a great analogy of they put up Lyle Landley from The Simpsons that sold the monorail to Springfield.
Yeah.
It's like this tech company comes in and says, look at all this awesome stuff we can do. And it's literally, you know, and they sell them on all these bells and whistles, and it's fixing these problems that you don't really have. And
yeah, exactly.
You know, it was this great analogy of Lyle Landley. And if they don't expand it to the other resorts,
oh yeah,
it is saying, but well, yeah, okay, we're done with
it. And it's on Cruise Line, right? Isn't that where it started, kind of?
No, it was on the Cruise Line. They have Magic Bands just for the kids zone, really.
Is that what all? Okay, I thought it was on Cruise Line for like charging your room and for your room key, but.
My money's on. They're gonna do it.
I don't know.
They're still using cards, and it's just
yeah.
The cruise experience hasn't changed really since it started, as far as that goes.
Yeah,
it's still the same.
No need to look at the money they're bringing in.
Yeah,
I think the only thing that, if you want to say that there's that where they started, they've been doing the online, basically like the app. You know, as far as booking your excursions, booking your dining online, they've been doing now for.
Okay. Right.
So that's what they mean is that you have been booking your excursions and your dining and stuff like that, your Palo reservations on the internet for Magic Plus.
What's your opinion on, not to get it off the rails here, but what's your take on the whole, on FastPass Plus, on My Magic Plus as a whole?
I think it's funny because I was having this discussion again today, my personal experience is great because it fits the way I like to go in the parks, which was in the, I tend to, even, this is even when I used to vacation, I like to go in the parks for maybe like 3 or 4 hours at a time, or maybe even less. And it got to the point where even before FastPass, like a Splash Mountain or a Test Track, you know, I came in 1999, Test Track, the line is, it was 120 minutes then, too. People like to pretend that it was 50 minutes. I mean, Test Track had a two-hour-long wait on day one.
Right.
And so I just wouldn't go. I wouldn't be able to do any of these rides because I would go in, and I'm not going to wait 2 hours for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not.
Yeah.
So for me personally, I love the fact that I'll go in and I'll build my day sort of around, you know, so you do.
You
book this Fast Pass at Test Track, let's say, and I know it's at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Well, I'm going to then build my day around that, and I get to make it very, then I make a relaxing day built around that one or two rides.
Right.
So for me personally, it's good. I do see people's frustration with it, but in my opinion, the problem is not necessarily My Magic Plus, it's not FastPass Plus, it's the place is really freaking busy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just busy, and everybody wants to ride the same five rides, and everybody wants to eat at the same five restaurants.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Right.
And people say build more rides. That's true. That's not happening that fast. But that would be the only way to fix it.
Yep.
I mean,
or to limit capacity, which you're not going to, do.
Ride,
right. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm in the same you know ballpark with that. I love being able to build your park tour around. You know, you've got your three fast passes in the morning. You know, you're going to have a couple in the afternoon, probably at least. You know, be able to kind of build it around that, you know, and depending on how the crowd is that day, you know, throw in a bunch of, you know, standbys and whatever you get, but it's kind of nice, I think.
Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, let's all be honest. I mean, at Epcot, there's only two rides that even need it.
Yeah.
Ever needed FastPass, ever. Yeah. Was Soarin' and Test Track, that's it. The other ones, they don't even need it. They just throw them in there because you gotta, you know, it'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. Unless it's insanely crowded, you know, from 9 to 11 and you want to go on Spaceship Earth, right? I mean,
okay. Just to interject real quick, no, we're not getting to all the Periscope questions. We're getting a lot of them. It's just we're also taping this for our Podbean and we're trying to get through a good discussion. So I'm looking.
Let's hear it.
So. I get a lot of, there's a lot of FastPass have ruined the standby lines, that kind of stuff.
Right.
I gotta say, on all this, honestly, when is it just gonna be too much? When is all this technology we're using for all these FastPasses, this, that, and this, whatever happened to just going in the park?
Yeah.
Taking it in. I mean, all these I mean, yeah, I know we tweet and stuff and whatever, but when's all this going to be just too much? It's just going to ruin the experience. Like, you know, oh crap, I got to go to Disney. This is going to be more of a headache now because I got to make my fast pass.
I think that's part of mine.
My parking pass is like...
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the other point. It's a totally valid point. It's truth. It's also the truth. You cannot deny that.
Yeah.
It does make it... It would be... But in a perfect world, I would love to walk in the park and have everything be like a 15, 20, 30-minute wait.
Right.
The problem is it's not the reality we were dealing with in 1997, 1998. I mean, you would go in the park and everything would be... I know, on the majority of the days, you go in, it's 45, 50 minutes for all these rides. And people... And I will put myself in the people that I will not wait in anything under an hour. So I would have been the kind of person that would fill out a survey and say, what's my biggest problem? Lines are too long. I totally get what you're saying. It's like, does FastPass screw up the standby line? Yeah, I mean, you can't. But if you want to also build in the fact that, it takes Spaceship Earth 35 minutes. Well, there's just a whole bunch of people going in it with 1 minute wait. So in my head, you average it out and it brings it back down. It's only a 35 minute wait if you're willing to stand in it.
Right, but this all goes back to money. They're bringing so many people in this park, they're packing it.
Yeah.
Why can't we go back to the days where they cap it off again? Hey, there's too many people in the park, we'll open again at noon. You know, because the experience dies. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You're paying 105 plus whatever tax to get in there for a 1 day thing. Me and my girlfriend, we were down in the Palm Coast visiting her grandparents, and we wanted to do a Disney trip. We haven't been there in a couple months. We could not do it financially to drive an hour to Orlando, pay $105 for me plus tax, $105 plus her, plus parking, plus anything we eat in the parks.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
You know what you're going to be excited about then? You probably saw the new news that this wasn't on our list of things to talk about.
No, yeah, I know it.
I'm like, great. Here's the other option they're coming up with now to absolutely go after what you're saying, and that's about some tiered pricing to affect how many people go in the park, and that's basically de facto capping the park. If you're willing to pay extra money to go in on these days, you know, you're kind of paying a voluntary cap.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I've read the article.
Mike, I think what you're saying too.
I got not much to say except for just the fact that it's just the overwhelmingness of going now, even just visiting for 1 day, or just the overwhelming of going in the park, is crazy. It's just crazy.
Well, I
know it's a new age, and we're all about marketing and getting the money out there, but it's just crazy.
It's just busy.
Yeah,
it is. Numbers over the last decades. I mean, it's I don't have them in front of me, but I was looking just to, because I was making this argument with somebody about this, and I wanted to look like how many more people are in the parks on a, you know, in a year now than it was in 1995, and it was a large number. I don't want to even say one because I don't know what it was, but there are more people wanting to go, and that's the downside. And I can't imagine though, is that you're capping the park. Could you imagine though, really, like, your family, and you're like, all right, let's go.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
And like Clark Griswold showing up, and there's like the moose on
the Wally World. Seriously.
Sorry, folks, Clark's closed.
Yeah, but...
No, but I mean, it's true, though. If you're a family, and you're on vacation in Central Florida, and you're like, okay, this 1 day we're going to Epcot, and we're only going 1 day, it's Tuesday, whatever, we're going, that's our Epcot day, it's all we can afford, you know, whatever, we're going to friggin'... you know, fun spot the rest of the time, wherever. Like, that's your day, right? And then imagine if the park's closed for capacity. Like, sorry, guys, you didn't get here in time. I mean...
Yeah, your next option is go to the Orlando Eye.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, I mean, you bring up your point. People say it about the hard ticket. They're saying,
I'm losing you, bud. There you go.
Yeah,
I know. We need to move on to our next news story, but trust, this conversation go on for years and years. And I'm not saying I don't want to go. I mean, I've gone plenty. It's just, you know, maybe even now, because it's going to be so technology-based on magic, everything like that, maybe get where they'll have like a baseball game. There's X amount of space available for this day. You buy a space to go in the park.
Yeah. No, I mean, I only go.
I'm not surprised if that somehow comes in.
Going
right.
Going back to that, the sorry, I didn't get to say much during this. Going back to the California thing, it's gonna happen. Magic Bands. I hate to say it. They're already testing FastPass. They're already using FastPass out there. Exactly. It'd be like waving the white flag if they don't do it. Every park will have a Magic Band. Every Magic Band will become accessible. Everything will be sold just like it was Trader Sam's going for $500 for a mug. That's what I foresee.
You know, the other thing, too, I mean, I gotta imagine, I have no idea for a fact, but Shanghai must have, like, Magic Band capability, right? I mean, it's got
to. They're probably just going to have your iPhone. They're going to have technology. I really think Shanghai's going to have more technology than we could ever imagine down in Orlando. I do. And I think we're going to be jealous
of
anything
from it.
Like, why are they giving this?
One last thing about what we were talking about, though, about, and I think the issue that you were mentioning about that was just crazier out there. And I think here's the challenge, and I think this is where My Magic Plus came from and FastPass Plus is, I don't care if it's Disney or if it's going to sporting events, entertainment, art, and hotels. You're getting this too. A general guest experience, people are like, no, I don't want that. I want the premium experience. So when will they turn Disney vacation in general into the premium experience, like you're saying, and say, you're going to have to book these specific seats into the vacation? Because that would be the next step in making it an exclusive experience that, you know, that's really what this all is coming from, is the general push in all entertainment, flying, every bit of our site. It's like, I don't want to go to Vegas. It used to be, hey, $5 buffets. Now it's, every place got to be VIP.
Right. They're already doing it. To your point, they're already doing it with, look at fireworks, right?
Mm-hmm.
At Magic Kingdom. Like, they're already, sorry, this cornered off garden is now only if you have FastPass, you know, reservations for the fireworks. In part, exactly. So, I mean, you know. Anyway, let's move on. Next news story. Going over to Epcot, New World Showcase walking tour now at Epcot called Destinations Discovered. New.
Hey Greg, hold on for a second. I got a pretty good question here. Is there a food option where you could order for Fantasmic and have it delivered to you? You guys know this?
I know they were testing out at Hollywood Studios this new food delivery system where you could order, I think, off the app or whatever and have it delivered to your to wherever you were in the park.
Oh god, it just sounds like a nightmare.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I literally did you go to Trader Sam's, Greg, when you're done?
I did, but it was close. I forgot it opens at 4, so.
So
basically, no, I didn't go.
Has anyone, yeah, that was the worst yes ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, for example, what I just mean is, like, you order at a cocktail table, and this reminds me of that, like, oh my god, does it take forever? I can't even imagine how long this is going to take. Like, yeah, I'd like my popcorn and my beer or whatever.
Seriously.
45 minutes later, I'd be pulling my hair out, sitting there in the Fantasmic.
You're probably going to get run over by a rickshaw or a pizza delivery guy trying to deliver it to you. So,
God, it just sounds like a terrible idea. But whatever.
Not only that, but I mean, how many people could they really serve with that? I mean, think about it. There'd have to be a limit before everyone is just requesting this. And
it
just gets stupid.
Yeah. It would be like a separate cast member position, delivery boy. Isn't exactly what it would be.
Unless I'm completely misled on what this would be like, I could give this the worst idea I've heard of the day.
Could you imagine if they did this at like nighttime though? If they did it at night at like Animal Kingdom? They have to wear like infrared goggles to find people.
I got one more question directed at you, Drunk at Disney, then we'll go to our next news story. Where's the best place in all the land, well, the world, I guess, would be a better word, to buy alcohol?
You mean, if we're talking about buy a drink?
Yeah.
The absolute best place. I will always say, and even though I love this, you know, I love New Jersey Sam's, I really do think the Boathouse is cool. The Lapu Lapu at the Polynesian, Tambu Lapu, is number one, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Top of the World Lounge is right there with it.
I would say Top of the World Lounge looks insane, which most people can't go to unless you're DVC, right?
it's another. Don't even get me started. How ridiculous that is, in my opinion. But okay,
I agree.
Think that's a good one. If we get to, if we ever get through the news to a feature topic, we'll add that in there. DVC, because honestly,
yes,
Drug Disney. I feel the same way about that. That is way too inclusive. I mean, to pay how many points would translate to how many thousand dollars for one of those bungalows? I don't know. You know, especially the one like right next door to Trader Sam's and stuff. Anyhow,
all right,
great. Go with the next news story.
So back to Epcot. New World Showcase Destinations Discovered walking tour is now available. It's $109 per person plus tax. It's a 5-hour walking tour. Brings guests through the creation of the World Showcase pavilions. So it's kind of a cool behind the scenes, you know, how the World Showcase was built, how each pavilion was built, and the history behind it. You go backstage. You get a glimpse of kind of the, some of the behind-the-scenes sort of stuff. So it includes lunch at a World Showcase restaurant and a cultural demonstration in one of the pavilions. So it's 9:30 to 10 is when it leaves in the morning, and it's pretty, you know, like I said, 5 hours basically all day. So, so
if,
something new.
If it's not over $50, Drunk Disney, go on that for us and report back.
Yeah, right.
Because it's a, you know, a extra ticketed event. Is
it's like, it's $109 plus tax. So.
I have a very personal thing on this, because this is what I used to, when I was a cast member at Disney, this is what I did. I did these behind-the-scenes tours at Animal Kingdom. I led them.
Oh, cool.
So they've had these forever. And those, I think, at the time, this was years ago, I mean, I would say they were $65. You know, this was, and that included like a light breakfast. So the price is, while it's high, and I always thought that at the time, I always felt so much pressure. Like, holy crap, these people are spending $65. I better, you know, but to be said, the price is not outrageous based on other things. I mean, it's definitely outrageous, but it's not outrageous based on other offerings that Disney's had on forever. It actually gets, sounds good. I'd actually like to hear a lot of this stuff from
Let me put that in perspective for you real quick, the price point, just to kind of get your mind wrapped around it. We were talking before off air. I'm a tour guide for a local tour group here in Central Connecticut that does the river, and it's a package between one mode of transportation that I really don't want to get into it. For the day, for an adult, it's $30 per adult, and $15 for kids. But you get a hour and a half on one of the modes of transportation. It's a train. There you go. And you get another hour with me blabbing about, well, I do a good job, about the river on the boat. It's worth your money. I mean, it doesn't include drinks or whatever like that, but there's no other charge. You were right by thinking $65, give them what they want, because that's not including the $105 that they're going to pay to get in the parking. That's on top of it. And so you're totally right in that thinking. And I'm sure you were a great tour guide, because if you're in that thinking, that's what makes... That's what I do. When I see 220 people getting on the boat, I said it again. And I have to narrate to them, and I know that they're paying $35 for adults and $15 for kids. I give them the best possible show I can. So, I mean, wrap your head. I mean, you're right. It's outrageous. I mean, how much is it for the ice cream party before the fireworks or after?
Oh, geez, what is that like?
110 a person or something like that on top of what you pay?
No, I don't think it's that much, but...
I thought it was in the hundreds, Greg.
I don't...
$90, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's
same ballpark.
Yeah, it's pretty significant. I mean, no matter what. You know, something like this to me sounds really cool, because, I mean, first of all, I love, you know, like, in Drug Disney, you don't know this, but Epcot's my... It's my dream city.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the place. So something like this to me would really appeal. I mean, this is that's I think kind of worth the money, you know. The Keys to the Kingdom tour, you know, something like that. I think where you're really going behind the scenes and something that folks like us who, you know, you've done the rides, you've seen the attractions, like, you know what's going on, but really want to take it to the next level and see behind the curtain. I think those are definitely cool. Or if you're like a DVC member and you've done it all or whatever, or local, but
I think take price out of it for a second and just let's look at the tour.
Yeah,
I guess the tour looks great.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, it does. I would definitely do it. So all right, let's move on.
Cool.
Number three.
Moving on to Animal Kingdom, Harambe Market now open in Africa. New quick service option. to Disney's Animal Kingdom with a African-inspired menu. And Drunk Disney, you were just there yesterday, right?
I was there a couple days ago. I went, I don't exactly know what day it opened, but I saw people were there, and I said, I gotta swing by there. So I went, and I didn't stay very long. I got one glass of sangria, which was good. Not the world's greatest sangria, but hey, it was really, it was a great time. The attention, you know, what I love about both the new Harambe editions, including this one,
yep,
can't tell where the old part was and the new part begins. I mean, it's just so well done, and it just makes me so excited. I love Epcot too, but Animal Kingdom is my park, so
yeah.
This is so excited with what's coming, because I mean, attention to detail as always, and you know, all the new projects are just so good, and the food looks good. It was packed, you know, which was really weird. A new place would be off the beaten path. People hadn't heard of it. The place was packed. I mean, the lines were considerable. It was a busy day, though. I mean, it was more than a weekend.
Yeah.
I swear, that is that part of Animal Kingdom, I think, is the hottest point in the whole world.
There's no chance.
You know what? That's literally, when I'm in Animal Kingdom, I will not drink the night before. Only water, because my big, I guess I gotta use the word butt. Well, it's past 10 o'clock. My big ass sweats like crazy. I'm in my huge guy, but I walk in the park and I'm okay, but I hit that point where Robbie is and I'm just like, a sweat, there's just no shade.
Yep. Oh, you're absolutely right. And it's, but man, it's awesome, the new place. I mean, it's not an attraction. It's not a big deal by any means. I mean, it's a little quick service restaurant, but in the grand scheme of things, it's such a great addition. It's exactly what they needed.
Yep.
More food, more beverages. And it's exactly what the park needed in this whole expansion. I call it DAC expansion, but it's exactly what it was supposed to be, and it was done really well.
Yeah, I mean, it looks, just from the photos and what you're describing, it looks insane. I mean, there's the rib shop, right? Rib's pretty good.
Ribs. Sausage was another big one that they were selling. Ribs and sausage were the big ones.
Yeah, they had
the specialty beverages. And of course, following the Trader Sam's model, just like you were saying, every park's going to have this now. Souvenir mugs. I mean, every drink's $15 for the souvenir mug, or $17.
No kidding.
Did you see how much someone was selling the porcelain, the Odyssey vehicle?
The Narwhal?
$500.
What?
Did somebody buy it?
Look it up on YouTube. eBay. Someone bid it, like, he put it at $150 and someone bid $500.
For a Narwhal mug?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really
good point. Somebody on Twitter once, you know, I was having a discussion and kind of, you know, ragging on the eBay resellers and stuff like that, and somebody brought up a good point for once. You know, I hate when somebody's right, you know, against me. But it was somebody from the UK and they were just like, man, this is the only way we can get this stuff. I was like,
that's true, I guess, yeah.
It hurts because I put myself in that position. If I'm a huge fan, you know, like you guys were growing up in another state and demanding, you know, being in the UK. And, I hated the fact that they kind of made a good point.
Yeah.
Because the resellers just grind my gears, but
yeah.
But made a good point.
Just get in the shuttle and go over to Paris. And you get to Euro Disney. I'm sure they're selling something over there that's worth it. But
the market a plus for me on everything. Of course, I'm biased because that's my favorite part. But it's not a news. It's not a you know. And obviously, they're not promoting it like it's anything more than it is.
Right, which is smart, I think, because like you were saying, they wanted to do this all along. They should have done this all along. They needed to. So, to me, it almost had like a food court kind of feeling. Is that what you got, or is that not at all?
It's a lot. And to be honest, imagine, I don't know if you've been to Caribbean Beach Resort. It's almost like an outdoor version of the Caribbean Beach, where they each has its own individual stand. It reminds me a lot of an outdoor version of that strong
market. Old Port Royal or whatever you call it.
Port Royal.
Yeah. Okay.
People count Animal Kingdom as the maybe or not maybe go to park. So there's a lot of, you know what I mean? Any additions is good. I mean, I love going to them.
Yeah.
The Animal Kingdom, I do.
And I think they're going to need...
Dying to ask this question ever since I figured out you were a CM with DAK. Two words. Avatar Land. Go.
Love the fact that we're building a new land. Everybody always said they're going to build a... And this is my entire time working there, and I got a chance to actually meet Joe Rohde once and deal with some of the, and Rainforest was always the way they were, that everything wanted, they really wanted, it was always, well, South America, Rainforest.
Yeah.
And clearly this is what that is. They just, to get the money, I mean, but they said, you know, Bob Iger said himself, they want safe bets, which means they want no name, something you put on a billboard, and yep. You know, hey, come visit South America is not gonna, you know, they right. Obviously thought Pandora.
It's gonna make more sense by the time they get this built.
I hate the
Come closer, I'm losing you on
that
mic.
Sorry about that.
I don't know, maybe you have to drink more, I'm not sure.
So to answer your question, I'm not a fan of Avatar. I love the idea, and the concept art, though, what I've seen really looks amazing. I can't wait to see it. It's a great addition. And I think it's so funny how I made a joke about it. Like, they literally are like calling it, you know, huge letters, Pandora, tiny letters, World of Avatar. You know?
Yeah. Seriously.
See the rainforest and the flying people.
It definitely has that feel of like, Pandora, the World of Avatar. I just think that's funny. And it has that feel a little bit.
Yeah, tell James Cameron to shut up and take his check.
I literally think Avatar Land, the Avatar Land theming is going to last for about a year, and I realize that nobody in this new child decade, so to speak, knows even what the heck Avatar is.
Yeah.
Avatar 2, I don't even know if it'll ever get made, honestly, because Cameron just keeps pushing it back.
It's pushed back to, like, what, 2018 now or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. I think the best thing that could happen is they pay him and say this is terrible, and they make it the rainforest, South America, and they put howler monkeys in there, and you could just basically just another couple new rides back there, and just you walk around the Amazon. I mean, that's cool. I mean, you can walk around the Amazon without getting malaria or getting bitten by a crocodile. You know, that's a win. You know,
I mean,
this is what they're going with, and it's even people from the other side say, you know, visually, you can almost guarantee that Pandora is going to look awesome. You take it, if you really could take the Avatar out of it, people would think it was great. But, it's disappointing that they didn't.
All right, Gregory, next story.
All right, Magic Kingdom. Head over to Magic Kingdom. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. It's going to feature a new show this year, Hocus Pocus Villain Spelltacular.
My girlfriend's excited for it.
Yeah, the Hocus Pocus movie, if you remember that back from the day, Bette Midler and all those wonderful gals are going to be the Sanderson sisters, are returning to the mortal world for one night during the Halloween season, look out, with a few hours to run amok, the three sisters decide to use their magic to throw the best evil Halloween party this side of the graveyard. This just sounds terrible to me, but I wanted to throw some into the news.
I don't care.
One thing. It's not an upcharge event. Inside an upcharge event.
And?
That's true.
It's not a dancing snowman.
Yes.
Also true. So anyway, all you Hocus Pocus fans out there, be get ready for next Halloween.
We're not saying just the Periscope people, real quick. No. Just for the Periscope people, we're not saying that it's not going to be a big following for Hocus Pocus. It's probably actually going to be a really good show. It's kind of one of those Halloween movies that branches all ages and is actually still one of the most watched ones that come on ABC Family every year. So, I mean, my little cousin she's 5 now, knows Hocus Pocus. This was made before, you know, she was even an inkling in my uncle's eye, so to speak.
So, all right, Dave, man, the more the merrier. I've actually never been to the Halloween party, but the more the merrier.
Yeah, I've been to the tail end of the Halloween season, so I've seen the limited decor and all that kind of stuff, but I've never been to the actual party myself either.
Hallow Christmases?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Greg, next story.
Next story is over at Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. This one, it's just a blur, but I don't know if you guys saw us. It's from the Orlando Sentinel. Paramedics responded to a woman near drowning at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. This is from last Sunday afternoon. Incident reported by paramedics who transported the woman to Celebration Health, and she was in stable condition when she arrived at the Celebration Hospital. The woman was in her mid-40s, so apparently, I just read online, there was people who were, she was in, like, I think, one of the wave pools, yeah. and drowned, and whatever, so she was saved.
Well, thanks for bringing the mood down. Sorry. Anyway, our best there, obviously. That's the water parks. It stinks. The only news you hear are the water parks, people getting hurt and bacteria lately.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. I think a lot of people get too crazy in the water parks with all the theming and, like, you know, I don't know what this woman's swimming ability was or health or whatever, but a lot of people either go on rides that, like, slides they probably shouldn't be, or, you know, think they can go against waves and all that kind of stuff, or in rapids or whatever, and they shouldn't be, so who knows? I have no idea. Obviously, the story's pretty limited, but...
Trip to Disney, just because I know you're, you know, obviously in the parks way more than we'd love to be, as much as you are, but what's your take on how are people, are they still really receptive to both water parks? I know Typhoon probably gets a lot more people than, I'm going to say, Blizzard gets more than Typhoon. Like, you really don't hear much about the water parks.
Yeah, and it's the same thing, honestly, when you're here. I mean, it's definitely always has been, in my experience, just as a guest that came on vacation and also even living here, they really are, and I say unfortunate because I love them both, an afterthought, for sure. Yeah. It feels like definitely more something like locals do, and people give on that, they maybe have like an extra day where they do just the downtown Disney and Typhoon Lagoon. But, I mean, they're obviously still real, real busy in the summer, but... They're definitely just it does have that afterthought feel, though, absolutely. But
we actually, I was just telling you, Drunk at Disney, like, you know, before we started the show, we were down there a few weeks ago and decided to go to Aquatica one day just because it was we did the SeaWorld fun card, you know, where it's they give you a free day at Aquatica. So I'm like, we'll check it out, whatever. Because we wanted to go to one of the water parks in town, and I'm like, you know, I'd love to go to one of the Disney parks. $85.
Yeah.
Because May is considered the summer season now. $85, dude. I mean, it's crazy. So for another $15, I could go to, you know, Epcot. Like, it's nuts. You know, for a park that you can go to from 10 to 5, right? You know?
I throw it on an annual pass to SeaWorld, and it's a heck of a lot cheaper. I have annual passes to Aquatica, not to Disney.
Yep.
And that's not because I like Aquatica better. Typhoon Lagoon is my favorite place. If I could pick one place to go and relax at in Orlando, Typhoon Lagoon is like amazing. That's where I would go. But it's just, you know, in convenience factor, Aquatica is just so convenient.
Yeah.
It's a great water park. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about Aquatica.
Yeah.
It's a great water park. Rollers Rapids is awesome. The slides are awesome.
Yeah, definitely kid friendly. Like I was telling you, I have a young daughter. It was great for her even to get involved and play on stuff. So. We had a great time there.
I hear a lot more news
about this drowning. And just the last thing about that is, I've always thought, I just cannot believe, I can't even imagine sitting up there on one of those stands and looking out at that sea of people inside one of the wave pools.
Oh yeah.
Trying to gauge what's happening down there. I mean, because it's a zoo in there on a big day.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised this kind of stuff happens. Actually, I'm more surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, totally.
I'm more surprised we're hearing about it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Greg.
So last story, which meshes well, a good segue into our feature discussion tonight on off-property versus on-property lodging. The Flamingo Crossing project over on the west side of property, they did a topping off ceremony, I guess, this is from last Thursday, but you know, for their final steel beam placed on the two hotels over there, Flamingo Crossing. Which is a Spring Hill Suites by Marriott and a Town Place Suites by Marriott, which are scheduled to open in February. Both hotels will have around 250 rooms each. The Town Place will have full kitchens. Both are going to share one pool and other facilities. I guess they're in this story from the Orlando Sentinel. They're talking about the both hotels will kind of share athletic facilities. Probably gonna have a batting cage and some fields and stuff for you know, tournaments and the kids going to ESPN Wild World Sports Complex to be able to practice and whatever, warm up or whatever at the hotels they're building there. So be interesting to see what happens there. You know, it's, you know, I think it's a surprise they haven't developed this piece of land much sooner. You know, I know there was another company that was involved. This company, I forget their name, I don't have it in the story, but they're out of Alaska, I believe, and they've so far developed one other hotel ever. So who knows how that will go. But supposedly, you know, they've committed to building five hotels just to start. I think the full build out of the whole like Flamingo Crossing development is like something crazy, like 15 hotels or something like that. Or there's land for it or whatever. But, you know, and then retail, entertainment, whatever. But
if you watch the video that went along with it, the article that you're reading, two of the hotel facades are up, and one of them we were kind of discussing a little bit before the show. One of them I know is going to be by Marriott. So
yeah, it's Spring Hill Suites and Town Place, yeah. Both Marriott properties.
Keep my fingers crossed. Maybe we'll get a Hilton I can transfer down. yeah, there you go. That's what I work for. Anyhow, that time of the night, I suppose. I think I just find it weird that Disney is allowing all these hotels to come in and encroach on their property.
I mean, it's not on property, I mean, right? It's just the closest, right by 429. It's the closest to property and to, you know, the Animal Kingdom kind of side of property.
That it's kind you of right be. There if you look at a map, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there, right? I mean,
it's literally on the line. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. For this, I guess, for this to become a big...
Is what's going to come anyways? I mean, this is definitely... That US 27, that side of Disney is ridiculously blowing up. With most of the cast members, really, what it seems like. And now they're obviously going to add more tourist stuff over there, too. I'm sort of surprised. This seems so much further off. I remember when the story first came out, they were talking about this back, you know, almost a decade ago. This seems so different from what they talked about back then, which is more of shopping. Doesn't seem like focusing on that at all.
It was almost like another Downtown Disney, almost.
It was more
sense,
like
right?
A rejuvenation with Pleasure Island, too, is what was supposed to be in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going back through old stuff just to, like, refresh my mind on this whole project thing.
Reminds me a lot of Crossroads over on the other side. I don't know how familiar you guys
are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's, like, a bunch of chain restaurants in there, right?
Disney did the very first time back in, you know, they kind of put that over there to have some life to Lake Buena Vista back in the early 80s. And it seemed like this is what they were going for over there, is going to have a grocery store and stuff like that. Now it just seems to be hotels, and all they keep talking about is Wide World Sports teams and stuff. So,
which is interesting, because that was part of the reason they built the All-Stars too, right? I mean, like, to kind of get people on property from staying off on, you know, 192 or you know, wherever. So kind of interesting. I mean, and obviously these aren't, you know, these won't, pricing-wise, I mean, the Spring Hill Suites, I mean, they're not going to be crazy extravagant hotels, are not going to be crazy prices, but
they're going to be nice. Spring Hill Suites are nice, and the rooms may be better than the moderates that are on property. Seriously,
probably, yeah.
And they're going to be for probably half the price, and that's just weird that Disney's kind of making a news story out of it, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I guess they want to be involved. You know, get your hands in it. Better. You know, better us than them. You know,
yeah,
it's gonna come. I mean, the amount of hotels that have opened in this city is just outrageous. You know, and just continue to build, and it leads us to the main topic there of on property, off property.
Good. I'm happy you're pushing the show along here, right? So what we're gonna do now is we're gonna go to the feature discussion. On property versus off property, but it's gonna be a little bit different than we kind of originally thought of it. This is going to be, I'm also going to be looking on our Periscope, so if you guys that are still watching, there's actually a good amount of you, so thanks for hanging in there, do appreciate it. I'll start reading some of the questions as we kind of go about different things. Off-property versus on-property doesn't have to just do with resorts or hotels, it can do with attractions, it can do with, we're just going to go into it and see where it goes. So I guess I can start it. I'll start with a little story. Have you guys watched on Periscope? They opened it up to a couple people last year to actually, sorry, yesterday, to go in the I can't freaking speak. Go into the crane cage and actually take you up to the 200 feet mark where the new Mako roller coaster is going to go for SeaWorld. So you can get a view. And I got to say, the view is, one, better than the Orlando Eye, and two, I don't know what two is. I totally had a brain fart. And two, it's kind of amazing. The competition for Disney is all of a sudden, maybe we're just having a bounce back in like the tourism industry, a big one. But between like Orlando and SeaWorld, they are pushing Disney hard.
Oh, you know, it's almost like they're taking Universal and SeaWorld.
Like, yeah. You know, they really haven't built nothing big. They're taking forever with the Disney Springs and the parking garage and the Avatar Land. Like, now's the time to, like, attack. And it seems like definitely Universal Orlando, but SeaWorld, I didn't think they were going to... I mean, I knew they wanted to build their theme park part of it up, but to come out and say, hey, we're going to have the world's tallest roller coaster, and the thing looks like something out of Roller Coaster Tycoon. If this thing really does, like, what's going to happen, but... really pans out to be awesome as it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
it's gonna draw a good amount of people away, and who knows? Maybe we'll have a SeaWorld hotel pop up.
No, I mean they've been successful with their developments over there. I know they have a Renaissance over there by SeaWorld, and what else? There's a what is it? I want to say Hilton, but I don't think it is. But no, I mean, SeaWorld knows what they're doing, right? I mean, they're kind of down right now too, obviously with the whole Blackfish deal and you know and everything, and it makes sense for them. But
there's more than one roller coaster, by the way. How many do they have now?
There's two other roller coasters.
Two plus a bunch of other theme park rides. It almost seems like for the Orlando park, they're gonna spend a lot more money on the. Like the roller coaster park side,
yeah.
Maybe where the marine life will go over to San Diego.
Yeah, that's some things that way. But you know, hotel wise, like you said, I mean, I think just the city, in the last, you know, since the recession kind of hit, the amount of high end hotels is what's really shocking to me. So we're talking off site, but a lot of these, I mean, and this is one of the reasons I think that I've seen an uptick in the quality of Disney Deluxe. They haven't quite gotten there yet, but they are feeling the pressure because it started off, even the ones right there on property at that Reedy Creek little area right there, that was the Waldorf and the...
Bonnet Creek Resort.
They had high-end hotels there. And then you got JW Marriott over there, and you got now, of course, the Four Seasons right on property.
Right.
Just the amount of high-end hotels in Orlando is going through the roof, and
you might be more expecting
this quality in their hotels that they're expecting, and that's where the on-property gets interesting, because I think for a while, especially at the deluxe level,
right.
Disney was not delivering the rooms and the level of service that you could get off-property for even remotely the same price. They are trying, you can tell, I think they're still struggling to keep up with that quality at the high-end deluxe level.
Right. I mean, especially with, like you were saying, with a Four Seasons on property, right?
Yeah.
And a Ritz-Carlton. Actually, I think the Orlando Ritz-Carlton's the Waldorf in Bonnet Creek there. It's the only one outside of New York. Yeah. That's a Waldorf, you know, Astoria. Yeah. So, it's really interesting. I think, you know, Mike, you and I have talked a lot about this, about, you know, the whole Disney basically kind of waited too long. They waited too long to do all these refurbs. They waited too long to do this expansion, you know, to do all these next gen things. It's kind of like they're now almost playing catch up with the Universals of the world. Obviously, they're still late years ahead, but, you know, the gap is closing, right, in Orlando. I think when it comes to hotels, like you're saying, Drunk Disney, I think they're now a lot closer to their side, and I think people expect for their money and what they're paying, you know, that kind of service and the kind of amenities that you would see at these kind of hotels.
See it from the operational side. And again, I went to school for all this. You have Disney, who is selling rooms at those big hotel suite prices, and people are paying them, thinking they're getting a good deal. Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Just off the top of the head, I'm just trying to think, just in the property that I work in. I can say I work for Hilton Hotels. I'm not going to say what brand. There's a whole bunch of brand, but the brand I work in, we're basically predominantly more of the suite sides. Disney, go ahead and throw me out a price for a Disney moderate room. Just throw it out.
$220 maybe, I would think.
Okay. For $220?
Yeah, yeah.
$220 a night, you could stay in our top deluxe suite on the fourth floor. And this is mahogany wood, a kitchenette. Yeah. This is a whirlpool, three beds. We have four of those on the fourth floor. And then we go down to mini suites, bridal suites, and then regular like rooms, which are upscale. So, $220, you can have what my brand of the Hilton has, or you can stay in a moderate room and has two beds, a bathroom, sometimes a bathroom on the outside, and hopefully has been upgraded in the last year.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, people are paying these prices. So from an operational standpoint, especially for hotel ops with Disney, why change anything? People are still paying this. Why are we going to pay the overhead millions of dollars to refurb these rooms, which they need, don't get me wrong, when people are still going to pay suite prices to stay here for 8 nights?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, we'll take a plane. You know, we'll give them a fruit basket. We'll give them a free day in the park. It's chump change.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the mentality that I think, unfortunately, that Disney has gotten into, and they need to get out of that. And they need to get back to that customer service that they had.
Well,
because there's unfortunately a lot of companies who used to model themselves, especially in my industry, in the hotel side, after Disney, and some of them are now making their own.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, I have noticed hints of them doing this, trying, and I just don't think they've gotten there yet. And one of the things I've noticed is if you go to a, this is my biggest thing I noticed. You go off property, let's say I go to the Hyatt Regency or something. The age of the staff, much more experienced at a lot of these high-end hotels that are in other brands. You go to Disney, you're getting the same, a lot of times, really young, inexperienced people. And if you're paying this, if you're at a deluxe resort, you want somebody that knows what they're doing around the resort. And I've noticed a lot more managers on the floor now, and I think they're trying to sort of put that out front, is that we have these hoteliers. You know, that's what you want. You want somebody that knows what they're doing. And I feel like they're trying. I just think it's really, I think Disney's really good at offering a moderate resort. I think that's like, they knock it out of the park, in my opinion. We're talking to moderates. I think they do offer a lot of these really nice things, service-wise. The rooms, you're right, they're going to have a hard time matching up rooms, but I think they really do struggle at the deluxe level, in my opinion, as far as delivering that service.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to your point, too, I think a lot of there's college program kids, right, that are staffing, like the front desk workers, if you walk in the Grand Floridian, right? I mean, that are the same as, you know, like you're saying, you go off property at one of these, you know, mid-range, higher-end hotels, like, you're going to have professionals who have worked there who know that know their property, have a pride in their property, and been there for years, you know? And,
okay, let me debunk that for a second, okay? Yes, you are going to have those senior people that work there, but when the recession hit, when I graduated in 08, everyone kind of went on a hiring freeze. Then they hired a whole bunch of people. They got rid of the industry just as a whole. Got rid of a lot of people that had experiences because they were being paid too much. They brought in a lot of new people, and now they're bringing back a lot of the old people. So there's actually a lot more people in the hospitality industry that doesn't have a degree, which, I mean, this is good for me. But going back to the whole college program thing, we just had a Diz girl, I forgot the numbers, your thing faded on me, college program was the biggest problem. And I've heard a lot of that, not just on our podcast, other people on Twitter, that they're not debunking the program, but they're saying that, you know, don't, if you have somebody who is going to college for a certain program, like a culinary program, a hospitality program, I don't know, a marketing program, put them somewhere in the parks that they're actually going to feel like they're using themselves. And they say a lot of people are, that's like one of the reasons why they're not getting service they once did.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I understand that, because if I got onto the college program for, let's say, pastry, and they gave me one day of pastry and, you know, 3 days of strollers, what do you think my attitude's going to be? I mean, me, I guess, as a Disney fan, I'd love it anyways, but let's say I wasn't into Disney as I was. I was just there for the college program, like some are. What do you think the attitude's going to be? Let me just get through this in 6 months so I can get the credit.
I think that attitude's going to be tough, and I think that's one of the things that... But I think if we're going to
I'm losing you again. Drink more, drink more.
As far as on property, off property, I think the biggest thing, and you were talking about it over with SeaWorld and Orlando Eye and all that, is, and here's where the battleground lies, in my opinion, for Orlando, Disney, Universal, is for Central Florida in general, in the even still now, most, and I'm going to say most, a lot of people come to, when they're coming on their trips, they go, I'm going on a Disney vacation, and they go and they stay on Disney.
Right.
Will it become, I'm going out on Orlando vacation? You know, when will that verbiage change? And I think that verbiage, I don't know what you know, what your friends and family call it, but all my friends and family go, I'm going to Disney. That's what they say.
Yep.
They mean Orlando, but they say, I'm going to Disney. When will that change? Will that change to, I'm going to Orlando? And I think that's where the battleground is, and that's why, for all this.
I think it's going to be more of a compelling, like you're saying, change or reason to change because of the developments that are taking place at Universal right now, some of the SeaWorld stuff. I mean, you know, I'll take our recent trip as a good example. So we stayed in Kissimmee on 192 in a Wyndham property. It was a timeshare rental we got through a reseller for 5 nights. We paid $400.
Yeah.
$400, dude. Like, that's not even a one bedroom at, you know, the Poly. Yes. Yeah. I mean, right, you know, in May. I mean, forget it. This is a full, you know, a luxury, you know, resort with a full kitchen, you know, one bedroom, king bed, whirlpool tub, you know, separate bathroom, dining room. I mean, the full balcony, the full thing. We went to Disney, we went to the parks twice. For 2 days, the rest we went to SeaWorld, we went to Aquatica, like I said. So it was more of that Orlando experience. Yeah. We did the Orlando Eye, which had just opened up, which was a waste of money, but we'll get to that later.
You're Universal SeaWorld and Orlando Eye. That's what they were hoping happens.
Exactly. You know, and through that, you know, we had lunch at Point Orlando. You know, we drove up I Drive and checked different stuff out. So it became more, you know, we went, like, one morning we went out to an orange grove. Like, it became more of a, like, we're going to Orlando and we wanted to experience, like, what Central Florida had to offer and not just devote our entire trip to Disney, although I totally would be fine doing that. You know, we just went in November, which was a full-on Disney trip. Wanted to make this more of a Orlando, which I think, to your point, is going to start becoming the more of a battle for Disney and a more of a problem.
I think that's my magic that is sort of forgotten. Is I firmly believe that was one of the main selling points for Disney in that is saying, wait a minute, if we can help make this a more cohesive Disney vacation,
right?
Magic Plus is gonna be a part of that. It's gonna be tying everything together and giving you advantages to staying on property, which is that tie it all together, make it more like that cruise experience. And I think to battle what you did, you know, I think that's what one of the reasons they did My Magic Plus. Now, is it going to work? It's off to a struggle, that's for sure. You know, because, I mean, you didn't necessarily feel the benefits of that on-property room enough to do it.
Right. But it's funny, though. You definitely lose the kind of magic. You know, it's not the same feeling, right? And it's weird, and it's different for everybody, but, you know, like, having stayed on property in the past, it's a different feeling waking up on Disney World property than it is waking up on 192.
Yeah.
Like, it just is, dude. Like,
TTC. You actually had to TTC.
Exactly. No, totally. It sucks. It sucks coming back and having to take the parking tram to your car. You know, to your car. So no, totally. And it, you know, it sucked going to the Magic Kingdom that week when they were doing monorail testing and the monorail was down from 8 to 10 or whatever it was. But so yeah, there's definitely challenges, and it's, you know, and you know, it's driving everywhere, which like when you're on vacation, like, if you don't want to have to drive and deal with it, like stay on a property.
Just take a cab. It'll cost you $15 on the way.
Yeah, but you know, but my point is, stay on a property. You don't have to pay for parking. You can take transportation. You do Magical Express. You don't have to worry about your luggage. It's all taken care of. You show up. It's like you were saying, drunk. It is very much a all-inclusive feel without like the all-inclusiveness. It's easy. It's one of, having done Magical Express and stayed on property in the past a few times, it's one of the easiest possible vacations you can do if you can afford it. I mean, we saved literally thousands of dollars by not staying on property and not choosing to go that route this last trip we went on. And we got to do a lot more because of it, you know, that we wouldn't have. I wouldn't want to have left property to go, you know, go to the Orlando Eye. I wouldn't have done it. Like, no way.
I think being a hotel, and you can probably agree with this, that I think, and one of the things that's going to drive more what the Orlando vacation is kids today, not kids today, I mean, everybody today is growing up and getting used to booking online. You want to check all the prices of all the hotels.
Totally.
And it's going to be hard for people growing up to, you know, that are just getting into going on vacations. Let's say you're 28 years old and you're booking it for your family for the first time, or 30 years old, whatever. It's going to be hard, I think, to justify that price increase, you know, if you have to do it. It's going to be hard to not just do it the way you do it when you go to Vegas or when you go to New York or when you go to Philly. You book it the same way.
Yep.
Okay, everybody stop talking for a second. What is that sound?
Sounds like a vacuum cleaner.
It sounds like a vacuum.
Oh, I hear cricket.
I wonder if it's, Greg, is your computer overheating?
No. I think I'm all right.
Not me. There's nothing on the surface that's going to do that. There's like a vacuum, and I had a couple people on here be like, what is that sound I keep hearing?
It sounds like a straight-up vacuum cleaner.
But I think Zahn Property Opera is the biggest battleground there is right now, and that's... It's big, and I think and Disney's offering a lot. I can see they're obviously, they know it too.
Oh yeah,
and they know it, and it's just, can they do it? I don't know. Can they pull it off? Like, you know, they're offering more, you know, pool parties for the kids. They put that at every resort now, and that's new in the last, like, you know, 5 to 7 years. And movies at night on the big inflatable screens,
which is a nice touch, by the way. We actually went to Beach Club one night, like, to watch. We went to the boardwalk to watch Epcot fireworks. And sat down and watched Jungle Book at the Beach Club, you know. Like, we were a hotel guest, but we just chilled, got some ice cream and peaches and cream. And
I really think they're looking at the cruise line, because people are willing to pay extra to go on Disney over the other brands. It's a considerable upcharge to go on Disney over the other brands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a lot more money. We priced out cruises recently.
Greg, let him speak.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So I think they've been watching this model forever. Like, how are we pulling it off on the Disney Cruise Line? What can we do? Is it the fact that they do? I mean, on the cruise, what do? They show movies on the big tube all night, and then, you know, it's these little things that I think they're modeling. It feels like they're modeling Walt Disney World after the Disney Cruise Line, which is a smart move because people are willing to pay for it. And so why not follow that model?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a good move until the Oasis moves into Port Canaveral. Those prices are going to start dwindling for Disney and the cruise lines. And the only reason I know that is I work for Norwegian. I work for Norwegian out in Hawaii. I know. I but this is my degree, so I have a lot of experience, which is cool. The Oasis is a beautiful ship. It may not have the Disney feel, which Disney has going for it. For half the price, you can get a nicer stateroom. And there's a lot more to do on the Oasis. They're the biggest ones in the sea right now. And I'm not saying it's going to hurt Disney where they may not want to, like, model everything off of it. But you're going to see some major changes coming to the cruise. I guarantee next year, because I'm honestly, they're opening cruises back up here in New York. They're opening cruises out of Miami. They're going back to Galveston for 2016. Mm-hmm. They got out of Galveston because it was a record low for them.
Yeah.
The region went into Galveston and had a great experience. It just, there wasn't, the dynamic wasn't there. Canaveral's like their gold mine because it's just, it's easy to get the bus back and forth. Yep. So they, now, I don't know if you, when's the last time you went to Port Canaveral?
This weekend.
This weekend. You notice that we were down there a month and a half ago. Notice that big ass building they have there now? The new terminal they built?
Yeah.
That was basically all completely funded by
Royal Caribbean. That's good for us as the guests, you know.
Oh, you're gonna have more options. Absolutely. But as far as for Disney, I don't think they'll ever leave Port Canaveral, but I think you may see less ships going out of Port Canaveral.
Well, I just mean, I'm using it as the example of, I think it's a perfect example. It goes right along with the on-property, off-property. Same model.
Yeah. I guess I see the whole picture differently because I work in the industry. I mean, in my own opinion, nothing's ever going to touch Disney. It's just not. Disney's Disney. I mean, I'm not trying to be a fanboy. I'm just being somebody who's in the industry. Disney's Disney. People still strive to be Disney. They still want that atmosphere Disney brings. You're not going to find it anywhere else but Orlando and out in California. I don't care where you go in the world. Yeah, there's Disney. Yeah. No, you're not going to find that anywhere else. And that's what they got going for them.
Yep.
But just like you said, there's going to be some stiff competition in the next couple months, years. And especially against the Flamingo Crossings, I think Disney's biting off a lot more than they can chew by kind of making that a news story, saying, the Courtyard by Marriott's going to move in here, or whoever's going to move in there. Mm. But people think, hey, look, I can literally spit a sunflower seed on a Disney property. Yeah, I may have to pay a little more for transportation. Maybe not too much because it's on the other side of 192, right on 192, right on Disney property. I can stay at this the Springfield Suites in a nice room that's nicer, comfortable, cleaner, because I don't want to pay a DVC price, or I don't want to pay the price of on property. I know I'm getting a lot for this same price or a little bit less. It's going to come to a point where you may choose that off-property site.
Yeah. But is that
you know, and one more topic, because I know we all kind of want to just go to bed. We all have jobs in the morning. DVC. I know we wanted to touch on this, so let's just touch on this right now. We don't have to take a long time to do it. Let's just touch on it. What's your thoughts on it?
I think the Tiki Man, Steve Seifert, said it best the other day when he went down. He's like, I bought DVC so I can continue to go there. That's what everybody's doing. You know, it's just the way to continue to go to deluxe. If people don't want to stay deluxe and just can't afford it anymore, DVC is the only way to do it. And
that's true.
And if anything, we're going to see it expanding. And that's why we're seeing it expand so much. People are just like, I see it all the time on Twitter. It's like people are really disappointed they can't stay at the Polynesian anymore, or, you know, and all the deluxes. And it's like, people want to stay at those properties, and DVC is the way to do it. I don't think it's a great deal. I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
I am a sort of an owner because I have lots of friends and family that are, so I use the points a lot, so I do stay there a lot. But I'm not going to buy anymore or get involved in anymore.
I mean, it's kind of scary because, you know, how Disney's the new park director is basically a merchandise manager when there's a whole change of command goes, and how much they went crazy over Frozen and stuff like that. And we were just talking about, like, you know, getting the rooms back in shape and everything like that. I mean, I love the bungalows, don't get me wrong. I'll never stay in one, I know it, because I just don't have the money for it. And even just to buy points off of somebody, I don't have the money for it.
No.
And the problem is if they just keep making all these DVCs and going after it because it's just this niche market right now, and it keeps growing, I don't know. I'm just scared DVC is what every room is going to become in the near future, you know?
For deluxe, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of stinks, you know? I mean...
Well, I think Disney had a look, too, at their... You know, they looked at their room counts versus, like, what was profitable. I mean, the Grand Floridian's the best example, right? I mean, how many rooms did they take out of service there to convert into DVCs, you know, over there? And then plus expanded more than the same thing at the Poly. I mean... So, it's you know, I think it won't be long before it's expanded across property. I mean, I can.
And Disney can sell moderates, moderates and values with their eyes closed. They don't even have to, you know, they don't have to do anything.
Right.
I can see them moving DVCs down there. I do. Why not? You get a couple more bucks. Put it, you know, I put a DVC, and I know this is far fetched. Put a DVC in one of the value resorts. You got a family that's going to go to stay for value, and they're like, yeah, you know, like, 100 more bucks, you get to stay in this DVC room.
Interesting. I definitely see more DVC than less. I wouldn't be surprised if a new mega DVC opened up on the Epcot monorail loop somewhere along the way. Right there in the middle.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
That to me seems like the natural move. Get it on the monorail, right there in the middle. They're not going to put a. I wouldn't be blown away if that happened.
That'd be interesting. They've talked a lot about doing that expansion that was supposed to happen, I guess, next to Wilderness Lodge, between Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness. There was supposed to be another hotel. This is going back like the 70s, but it never happened. Obviously, I've heard rumors of, you know, something like the Boardwater Bungalows, but on Bay Lake, out there.
For DVC. I have another podcast with Derek Burke who's talking about that, and just how they're gonna be like the Polynesian bungalows, but out on the waterfront. I think.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I mean, if you can afford it, God bless you.
Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah, it's one thing a lot of people would like to see. It's just, and of course, I'm a fan of them, but more monorail connections. Just monorail to every park. Every monorail has. I mean, the monorail line to Epcot, putting another hotel or two there, I think it's a worth thing to do. Be it one DVC and one regular, one moderate or something.
A moderate, yeah.
It's a worth thing to do. I mean, honestly,
blown away if Disney opens another non-DVC resort, basically, ever. Only because DVCs pay for themselves. They pay for themselves before you even have to sell a room. You know, the guests are paying to build the hotel. You know, there's no better business model for Disney to get into than DVC.
Yeah.
They don't have to put, you know, the capital comes from the guests before they even ever stay there.
Right.
But what if we hit another recession? Or we hit another point where it's just people can't afford them?
I mean, what's Disney doing? I mean, they just got, how many new rooms did they just get by property without made Marriott pay for them?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not...
If it's
not technically on their property, Marriott doesn't have to pay them. You know what I mean?
I think they're paying rent.
So that's the case, and Disney's literally letting competitors come on their property. I mean, it's a bold move.
Well, they did it with
Plaza Boulevard.
Right, it's no different than that, and I mean, they did it with the Swan and Dolphins. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, obviously that was a deal that they couldn't get out of, basically.
When you read the article, there's like, what, 6-7 hotels going in there?
Yeah.
That are, again, $200 will get you a suite.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the same thing. It's the same thing.
Trust me, I know there's always a silver lining of what they're doing. So we'll see.
Well, they're dealing with it regardless of if it's at Flamingo Crossings or 192 or iDrive. That's the battle they're in. They know it. There's no, I mean, they don't care whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, they got Universal got their own hotels. I mean, so that's the battle they're in for sure. Is they know that the rooms. I mean, they know what the deal is. You know,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think, you know what, I think that's pretty good right now, fellas. I think it's going to be a good one. So I think we're going to wrap it up.
In fact, if anyone wouldn't mind. Contributing to my Kickstarter to buy DVC. Go ahead.
Yeah,
exactly.
For all three of us. Yeah, we'll start one too.
Yeah,
we might need every one of our Twitter fans between the two of us to actually buy a bathroom. So
yeah, exactly.
So anyhow, Drunk Dizzy, it's been great.
Nice talking to you guys.
Get together and do this again. Maybe start a little earlier.
Yeah. Have our stuff together next time.
So, all right, it's been great. We had a lot of fun here. Greg, anything before we go?
If anyone out there has any park or trip planning questions or topic ideas you'd like us to discuss on the show, perhaps with Drunk at Disney on our next show. Feel free to send them our way, facebook.com/resortears, on Twitter @resortears, or shoot us an email, resortears@gmail.com.
Thanks for watching on Periscope. It's been a blast for everybody who's stuck around. Also, you can hear the full show at podbean.com/resortears. We'll do our best to either put it up tonight or tomorrow. So from everybody here at Resort Ears, me and Greg, and this boy right here, Drunk at Disney, this should be on Periscope for 24 hours if you want to rewatch it, depending on how big the video is, because it's been going for 2 hours. Anyhow, that'll do it. Get your ears on. We'll see you next time. Have a great night. Cheers. See ya.
This has been a production of Resort Ears Radio.